Turn to Judges chapter number 2, if you would, please. This is going to be kind of like when Adam looked at Eve and said to her, "You are truly the only woman on earth for me." Because this is the only message I have notes for. And so it was very clear to me that this was the one. And so that is a blessing. So essentially, I'm going to put you at ease right away. I know that I have a high voice. Get over it. I have. It's okay. And so people always freak out, you know, "Oh my goodness, it's okay." And trust me when I say to you, I've gotten over it a long time ago. And if you'll just get past the voice, the message is the same, and it'll be a blessing. Turn to Judges chapter number 2, if you would, please. And let's stand if you're able. And let's look here in verse number 8. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." I'm going to preach a message I've entitled tonight, "There Arose Another Generation." Let's pray. Father, help us now, I pray, during the preaching of your word. Guide us, direct us. Help me to say those things that need to be said tonight. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to throw you into a tailspin, but the fact is that you're going to die one day. Some of you sooner than you think, probably. I forgot to mention this morning, I do hospice as well. I do that 20 hours a week. I visit with dying people all the time, and they're like, "Oh, Pastor, how do you deal with dying people?" Everyone in here is dying. They just admit it. We're going to die. You're going to die. And I hesitate to say this because it's Sunday night. We should start the week out well. But your children are going to take my place. And I got to tell you, that kind of scares me a little bit, just to be honest. And the question is, how will they do? I was at a funeral of someone one day, and someone stood up and said this. He gave this testimony that his grandpa was a success. Not because he loved the Lord, but because he raised children who raised children who loved the Lord. And I thought that was very interesting. This caught my attention in Joshua, that as I read through the book of Joshua, we come to this passage of scripture, and now we come to Judges, and it says that there arose another generation. The book of Joshua is full of victories. The book of Joshua is full of all kinds of wonderful things and God's blessing, and it's all sorts of wonderful. And we come to the book of Judges, just 2 very short chapters in, and it says that there arose another generation that did not know God. And I got to be honest with you, I wonder myself, how does this happen? How can it be? And I think I have the answer, and I'm going to first of all show you how it happened, and then I'm going to give you some ways that we can make it not happen. Go up to verse number 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel." Number one, the generation did not know the Lord because they just didn't know the Lord. They dressed right. They talked right. They acted right. They smelled right, but they never knew the Lord. And I got to tell you, I wonder how many of our children and our children's children are going to die one day and go to hell because they learned the right answers, but they never knew the Lord. I never, ever assume that anyone is ever saved. Never. If anyone ever comes up to me and says, "Pastor, do you think I'm saved?" My answer is, "I don't know." Well, if I did, I don't know. You know you're saved. God knows you're saved. I never assumed that anyone is saved. But not only did they just didn't know the Lord, but They also did something else. They forgot what God had done for them. I love the fact that you guys are going to be celebrating 45 years. Pastor Ross preached for me last year at our 21st anniversary of Liberty Baptist Church. I had the awesome opportunity of starting that church almost 22 years ago now. And in a storefront, in a town of 600 people, and yada, yada, yada. It's all kinds of wonderful stuff. But I got to tell you, you know, I always tell our folks that things look a lot better when you put them on pictures on the video screen and set it to music. At 2 o'clock in the morning when you're in here doing drywall, it's a haul. But when you set it to music, oh. That was so wonderful. We share the blessings. We have a wall in our church. And on that wall are pictures. I don't know how many are there. Lots of pictures. Pictures from day one all the way up to year 21. We don't have work days for the men. We have work days. I mean, everyone comes. Well, not everyone. That's not true. Well, everyone's invited to come. We share the victories. We talk about the defeats. I'm not a very good pretender. I'm really not. If I'm happy, people know it. If I'm unhappy, people know it. We have a lot of teachable moments in our church. I'm usually the teacher. And we talk about the victories, and we talk about the defeats. We let our children know about the struggles. We don't let them lament them. We don't let them get bitter about them, but we're honest about them. You know when everyone's, you know they're lying when no one ever has a bad day. Right? Don't you? Come on now. And you also know people are lying when they've never had a good day. I've known some people like that too. Verse number 12, and they forsook the Lord. Number 3, they forsook God. God wasn't real to them. It was mommies and daddies. Did you understand who these people are? These people are Joshua's grandchildren. These are Joshua's mighty men's grandchildren. That's who these people, these are the people that they didn't see Jericho, but they should have known about Jericho. Verse number 12. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods. Let's just stop there. They allowed evil influences around them. I got to tell you, I get a little tired of walking into churches. I'll be honest, I told Pastor Ross today, I was a little scared to come here today, and I'm just being honest, I really am. I've been to churches, and I usually leave disappointed. I mean, you're all Baptists, right? I mean, have you ever been anywhere out of this church? I'm telling you, it's disappointing. I walk into churches, I didn't want to walk into Walmart. Really? You go to church. You're supposed to look different. I am so thankful for 45 years of amazing grace, and the hymns are still being sung, and the Bible is still being preached, and everyone's still happy to be here, at least putting on a good show. Thanks. Amen. I'm going to die one day. There are people praying for that even now. And you know what? When I'm dead and gone, whether or not our ministry was a success has nothing to do with today. People are scared not to serve the Lord today. But what about my children? What about my children's children? I don't have internet. I don't do the YouTube thing. I don't tweet and Twitter. And there are things I do, but I won't discuss here. I mean, I just not into it. And I'm not into it because it discourages me. People post things that they should keep to themselves. And I'm talking about churches. Churches that once stood where you and I stand, brother. That aren't 45 years old. Their music standards are nothing. their dress standard or nothing. It's not a big deal whether we use the King James Bible. Yes, it's a big deal. Amen. We have this come as you are and leave as you came. Name and claim it. Blab and grab it. Listen. That's what we become. We become the new evangelicals. I hate it. It's compromise. That's what happened here. They started serving the gods. We come to church on Sunday night and then go home and watch the Sunday night programs on TV. Right. You know there are people that do that. I don't know how you do it. So how do we quit making this happen? How do we make this stop happening? Number one, introduce the next generation to your God. I mean, make him real. We do something in our church. It's called a church-wide text. I have the opportunity to send out a text to everyone in the church, and that way there's one message from one person, and I send out things that happen. It's not a daily devotional. It's hey, pray for such and such. This is going on. And my question to my folks is this: when you get a church-wide text, pray for someone, do you just go yeah? Or do you stop and pray? Because your children know. Oh, we're going to pray about this. Oh, are you? When are you going to start? Right? This is why your children think you're phony. Because you're phony. I know rocket science, right? I haven't earned doctorate. I learned that. Phony. It's phony. It's not real to you. We go, oh my goodness, why did my kids not get it? Well, they didn't get it because mom and dad are playing church. Now, I don't get that here. Just so you know, I'm preaching to the choir. And by the way, the choir was fantastic this morning. I know I'm preaching to the choir. By the way, if this is the same message I preached to my church 2 weeks ago. I didn't know I was preaching tonight. I just know we got a problem. I just know that we're losing our young people in droves. And our old people, too. First of all, we need to make them real. Number two, we need to constantly remind the next generation what God has done for us. And stop complaining. Yeah, you know this did not happen on its own. I was so honored, and I mean this. I was so honored to meet Mrs. Ross, Pastor Ross's mom. I was so honored. I know she doesn't want me to say this, and I really don't know her, so whatever. She ain't my mom. So, you know, we'll see how she reacts to this. We'll see how honored I am after this. But I'm not kidding. I was so honored to meet her because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know the whole story. I read it. We talked. I love Pastor. I love your pastor. What a great man. What a great guy. And I mean that sincerely, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. This didn't just pop up like a mushroom here. You know what I'm saying? Like this? This took sweat, blood, and tears. Her husband, his daddy, somebody said, we're going to build a church. I've been pastoring for 27 years. I pastored a little church for 5 years, and then God called me away, and it was one of those. God said, go away, and so I went away. But he didn't say where. Really, I'm not making this up. This is a true story. I mean, I do lie, but this is the truth. And God said, if he'd have known this, he'd have never had me preach. He is right now thinking, why, Lord? Why? I was not this tired. And God said, I want you to start a church in Coggin, Iowa. The great metropolis of Coggin, Iowa. And I'm like, really? Yeah. By the way, that was my, and when I said it to someone else, they're like, really? Like, yeah. So I took my wife and my two children who were like 3 and 1 at the time. My third son wasn't even born yet. And we went to the town of Coggin. And my great faith, we're starting a church. And I wish, someone says, you ought to write a book about how to start a church. Well, if I knew how, I would. I just went there, and there was a place for sale, an old building for sale. I'm like, man, this is great faith. And so I called the gentleman, and I said, hey, I'd love to rent that building. He said, I'd like to sell it to you. Well, I'd like to buy it too, but we don't have any money. We don't have any people. We don't really have a church. He's like, well, I can't rent it to you, but I'll sell it to you. And I'm like, well, I would love to buy it, but I can't buy it. So I went to the bank, and they said, oh, we know you, but who's the church? I'm like, well, you're looking at him. You know, God's got a great reputation, but no one wants to lend him money. Have you ever noticed that? It's like, no. I want to walk on streets of gold, but could you pay for them? Because I can't. We can't, no. So my wife and I sat down, and I was working a secular job, still am, and we decided what we were going to give. And so I said, hey, what would it take to buy this building? And so we went on faith and said, let's buy the building. So we bought the building. And we started church. And that's all there was to it. 22 years later. Here we are. People just came in droves. It's wonderful. And there were times when it was just my wife and I, and she got one-on-one time when she needed. This didn't happen overnight. Do you know where you are? You're in Jasonville. Which is bigger than Coggin. I'm not kidding. This didn't happen overnight. Oh, we went to work. People started to come, get saved, and then people would leave. They were still saved, but they would leave. I just want to throw that out there. People will come and one day we outgrew the building. We needed a fellowship hall, so there was a tavern for sale down the way. Don't laugh at me, I'm serious. I said, man, let's buy that thing. Don't tell anybody. And so I walked in there, and actually I called the realtor. I said, I'd like to look at that building. He said, go on in, the back door's open. It's Coggin. And so I went in. I flipped on the lights. There's no lights. The floor had I call them road bumps up to my knee. I mean, it warped so bad because of the water. And the only reason I knew that they were there is because I plugged in a Bud Light sign. True story. God be my witness. I had a couple guys down from church. I said, is this crazy or what? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. 10 minutes later, I'm in front of the church. I'm like, oh my goodness. There's a building down there and we can buy it. Next thing I know, 50-some people walk out of our church into the back door of the tavern on a Sunday night. We turned the bar into a blessing. We called it our tabernacle. True story. True story. Say, Pastor, what is your point? My point is, it didn't happen overnight. Someone paid the price. Somebody paid the price. Somebody chopped up the bar and put it on the subflooring. I know who, but if I will never say. Our children literally had children's church sitting on top of the old bar. Say, Pastor, what is your point? My point is that, you know what? We need to remind our children what God has done for us. We shield our children from too much. Let them know the victories. Let them know the defeats. There's many a time I've had to stand in front of our church and say, you know what? I made a mistake. It's the way it goes. called being human. It's keeping it real. The third thing you need to do is you need to protect your children from evil influences. This is what happened. They didn't kick out the people they were supposed to kick out. And before you knew it, guess what happened? They started to be just like them. I'm telling you, we have more opportunity today than we've ever had before. There are good people that are getting tripped up by bad things. It breaks my heart. I'm going to say it. I say it in my church, and I'm going to say it in your church. I don't see any reason in the world why a 12-year-old needs a cell phone. And if you don't get that, you're just not paying attention. I don't understand why parents want boys and girls to play like they're married. I don't get it. And then they're so shocked when something happens. I mean, really, is it that shocking? Really? Really? It's not that shocking. It's not cute. That's what the world does. We'll let that go in our church. No, not happening. I always tell people in our church, it's God's grace to you that I did not have daughters. Because I would carry more than the one gun I carry now. See, you're sitting here going, well, Pastor, of course. The reason you're sitting here saying, Pastor, of course, is because Pastor Ross preaches this sort of thing. But Pastor Ross is going to die one day. Going to be gone. He's going to be gone. Are you going to make it yours? Oh, I know everyone says they are. There's not one person in my church. Every single year, we celebrate our anniversary. And every single year, I get up and I say the same thing. And every single year, it's true. That next year at this time, somebody will not be here. And I'm not talking about they're in heaven. They won't be here because the carpet's not the right color, or because I said something to offend them, or because they're sideways, or because. You fill in the blank of your own stupidity. And every single year, it's true. There's not one person. You go to my church tonight. It's going on right now. My son is preaching in my absence tonight. No, he's not called to preach, but you know what? Sometimes you don't have to be necessarily called to preach to give a Bible lesson. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? You go to my church right now. You say, hey, how many of you are planning on not being here next year? And they'd say, oh, not me. I'll be here. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I'm with you. That always scares me. Can I tell you something? I can usually tell if you're with me or not. And usually when you're saying you're with me, it's because you're not. You know, you're not just affecting yourself. You're affecting everyone around you. Where are you going to be? No, I'm talking about your children. I mean, when you're dead and gone, where are your grandchildren? Is there still going to be a Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's standing on the book, that's singing the old-fashioned hymns, that still acts like they know who Jesus is? Or will someone else have to start a church? Right? There arose another generation. How did it happen? How did it happen, Pastor? Well, it wasn't theirs. They just didn't know the Lord. But I think most importantly, they allowed evil influences into their lives. And here's what that sounds like. Pastor, it's not that big of a deal. I love when people do that. You just, when the people say, it's not that big of a deal, just leave the not that out part. Because it's a big deal. And if it wasn't, you wouldn't be telling me it's not. Oh, come on, Pastor. Really? Really, you're sick of seeing ladies with their skirts up above their knee? You know, there used to be a time that didn't happen. I'm talking about the world. There used to be a time when we had standards. Oh, you can't do that anymore. Yeah, you can. You're probably not going to build a church of 5,000, but I'm not interested in that anyway. Me personally. The question is this: when you're dead, what will they write about your children? See, when I'm dead and gone, and by the way, people always ask this question, do you think that people can look down from heaven? I hope not. No, really, because I'm going to tell you, if you can, I am staying so far away from that window when I get there. I mean, I may show up to my funeral just for fun. Just to see who didn't come. Right? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stay so far away from that. And by the way, I don't believe it's true. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to, you know, get you all, you know, whopper-jawed here. I'll let him deal with that when I'm gone. But I'm going to tell you this. If I could, I want to look down at Liberty Baptist Church. And I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see the pictures on the back of the wall that have spread from this wall to this wall. And I want to watch my great-grandchildren tell their children. I was here for that. I noticed there's a part of a wall missing back there. I love that. You know how many walls we put up only to tear back down? No, because really, we rented this building and we said, well, this will be the 10-year plan. It turned out to be the 2.5-year plan. I love seeing that. You know what? Every time I see that, I think, I wonder whose blood is under that board. See, when you walk in here and you had a part in it, you don't put your feet on the seats. See, when people step on songbooks, see, I paid for them. I mean, not all of them. But all right, let's leave me out of it. I don't know who you're a nobody. You paid for them. You know how many people just said amen? People have been sleeping this whole time, just woke up. He paid for them. Maybe he paid for them. Maybe he did. You know, put your feet on the walls and all that stuff when you are invested in it. See, people don't complain to me anymore. You know why? Because when they complain, I put them in charge of fixing it. Amen. Yes, sir. Anyone can complain. How you doing? How are you with actually doing something about it? Yeah, this ain't your home. Don't complain and just pretend like and expect someone else is going to do it. No, what are you going to do about it? 45 years. Wow. I was doing the math. I could make it to 45. I could. You ain't going to be there, but I could make it. You know what I hope? Can I tell you this? I'm serious about this. I'm not stroking your ego. There is no reason for it. You have nothing I want. I'm going to tell you this. It has blessed my heart to know your pastor, to know what he preaches, to hear what he teaches, and come to his church and find exactly that. And for 45 years. You know how many churches are celebrating 45 years that are not where they used to be? Hundreds. I don't know of another church. I'll be honest with you. There are probably some. I don't get out much. I don't even like to get out much. I love where I'm at. People say, you know, do you ever preach out? No, well, you can tell. Absolutely. No, I don't preach out. So I don't go to a lot of churches, but I don't know of a lot of churches. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know very many churches that are 45 years old. That still stands where this church stands. Now, listen to me, and I'm done. If it's going to be 45 years from now, that's up to you. Because this little guy has no clue what happened 45 years ago unless you tell him. He's going to get saved one day. I hope. I pray. But not if you're not preaching the gospel anymore. Are you hearing me tonight? There arose another generation. They didn't know God. When you're dead. I think about it a lot. I really do. Maybe it's morbid, but I really do. I think about it. What are my children going to say? What are my grandchildren going to say? In 100 years from now, 45 years, wow. I'm serious. I'm not just putting on. I mean, that I stand in awe. I want that. By the grace of God, we're going to have it one day. Hey, we got 22. We got 22. That's better than a lot of people I know. And I'm not comparing ourselves among ourselves. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, sticking by the stuff. There arose another generation that knew not God. Look at why God did, why did God? Why? Because they knew not the Lord. Verse 10, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. What a blessing. I cannot be here April 29th. I know your pastor is so excited. I know there are people, and by the way, if you're not excited, there's probably something wrong with you more than I even know. What a legacy. But don't rest. Don't rest. Because you might be raising the generation that doesn't know the Lord if you don't do something to make sure that doesn't happen. Let's pray. Father, help us. Guide us, direct us. Father, I'm sure the message was discombobulated, but I pray you'd use it. Father, what an encouragement this place has been to me. Thank you for a faithful pastor standing here and preaching the word of God and faithful people who are invested in this ministry. And Father, thank you for my church. Father, I know it's so true. Father, I just pray that you would guide and direct us now during this time. In Christ's name.